fascinating. All right, well, it comes that time for our talker tonight, and we have a special treat. He hasn't spoke in a couple months, actually, and he knows a lot of different things about the Bible, and he usually brings that into his talks, but he's always got something really fascinating to say and really interesting, so I always enjoy hearing him. And, you know, he's just fun. He's always got some wit in there. So if you guys would please welcome Dan Hare.
Thank you. I brought my computer and my notes. Actually, I did make a few. You know, actually, I'm not going to really so much talk about the Bible, but tell you a story. And but before I want to say, Mary, it's good that we made it on 9/11. We both flew on 9/11. And thank you for the note. That was very sweet. I went back to see my daughter and my granddaughter, who turned one in Arlington, Virginia. So I got to see my babies. And that was very, very sweet. But I want to tell you a story. I was at the post office 3-4 weeks ago, opening my mails, and my phone rings. And it was a number rather than a name, and usually it means that and when I answered, it was somebody that I knew, but because it was a number, it didn't transfer over when I got the phone, my new phone, so it was like, I hadn't heard from this person in 2 years maybe. Probably, yeah, a year and a half, 2 years. And it was a friend of mine, a gal that I hadn't seen in a while, and she says, Dan, I have to ask you something, and you can say no. And she said, I just need a hug. I mean, this is out of the blue. I'm sitting there going, and I said, well, God, I'm kind of sweaty. It was like a sweaty afternoon, and I was heading from the post office to Moonlight Beach because it was close to sunset, and I said, well, where are you? And she's driving up 5, and I said, well, look, I was going to go to Moonlight Beach in about 15, 20 minutes. I'll meet you there. So I go to Moonlight Beach, and I hug my friend at sunset. It was kind of this really sweet thing, you know, just needed a hug. You ever feel that? You just kind of need somebody to hug you. No, it's just kind of this human connection thing. And I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for this gal. Horrendous upbringing, just stuff that movies are made out of. I mean, the parent hatred and the abuse and all the kinds of things. And she basically has committed her life to overcoming these horrendous memories. And as we were sitting there, and you know, we did the hug, and then we're sitting at the bench looking at the beach, and it was a cool environment, and we're just chatting, and she's kind of a spiritualist because she sees the other side, and she was telling them the story. Several years back, when she was in Colorado, she rented a room to a Vietnam veteran, and they went out to lunch, she told me, at a place called Giuseppe's in Boulder, and I didn't realize it until I reread her No, because I asked her to write the little story for me because I wanted to share it. My daughter worked at Giuseppe's when she was in college in Boulder as a waitress, you know, did the lunch shift or whatever, going through college. And she was telling me the story how she's with this guy who served and fought in Vietnam, and she said this apparition or this ghost or this angel or spirit or whatever label we want to put on it, of this big, strong black man floated into the room and came up to their table. Now, I'm just telling you the story, okay? And she's an artist, a very good artist, and her and the Raleigh was the her friend's name, and she was starting to draw a picture of this person. And he said, because he was trying to get a message, apparently, because he'd passed on, of course, to his wife still on Earth. And she's saying, you know, no, don't know. And so she's drawing this picture for Raleigh to look at. And he looks at this picture and he says, that's my sergeant from Vietnam that got blown up. And he wanted to get him. He says, I don't know where my wife is or his wife is. And I'm not quite sure how that all turned out, except to say that when they left the restaurant, she said they got in the Ford F-150 pickup, he was following them. And his energy was so intent that he was holding on to this thing, this memory. And so she felt this leading, and she blessed him and said, you can go on. You can release, and you can move on. And I started to think about this idea, and it's kind of been a theme of mine because I deal so much with it. I deal with it in my own life, about this idea of me. Now, that's kind of narcissistic the way it sounds, and it kind of is in its reality, but a me is a thought. And a thought holds energy. When you think a thought, and if you hold on to it, you plug into it. It you take your energy, and the thought oftentimes can be a pleasant thought, which is great, a love thought, fantastic, or it can be a negative thought. It can be something that is unresolved, and you want closure. And a lot of times in life, we've got to release things that we can't get this immediate closure with. And I know that in my own life, I didn't get closure with my father the way that I wanted to. And I've shared that story with you in the past. But after he went to the other side, that's how I ended up coming to the church, because we had this closure afterwards in spirit. And I've got notebooks full of messages of stuff that he said that I wish he would have been able to say when he was alive. And I think about the power of the words of Jesus when he says, you know, as a man thinks, so is he. And he goes on and he says, I want you to take every thought, every me, every thought, everything that has energy, and to take it captive to the obedience of Christ. So he's talking about this idea that we hold these thoughts like a ticker tape, goes through and through and through our brain, and be very careful about the thoughts that you hold on to. Because so often we get dis-ease, because we have thoughts that somehow in our subconscious are holding on to us, and they're causing pain, and they're causing dis-ease, and that's how you get sick. And, you know, a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, and I've shared this story as well, and I don't think I've shared the conclusion of it, but I got turned in for code violations at my house, and it was a forged complaint. It was somebody that wrote this complaint and forged somebody else's name, and it really had nothing to do with me. It was just a convoluted story. And I remember literally saying right before that event happened, you know, God, I really want to, I'm kind of in this rut. So we're going to have some fun with you. And literally the next night or two nights, I get this complaint. And I freaked out because, for some of you that know me, I have this kind of interesting place where I've created some rental units. And there's this gray line between housemates and whatnot, but it's a great place. And I've made a way to make a living. And it's been a really wonderful kind of experience. And all of a sudden, I'm going into survival mode, going, oh, blankety, blank, blank, blank. What am I going to do? I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm going to be living in an RV. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be in a whole different way of life. This is not what I asked for. And went through this long, involved thing, and the issue was in general terms in front of the city and in terms of housing and density and ancillary and all this stuff. And so it was part of this political process and then part of the city administrative process. And finally, they wrote me and they said, hey, look, we got to resolve this thing. And I said, well, yeah, I've been waiting for these questions because I asked them several questions. And then, like bureaucrats, they didn't answer the ones they didn't want to. And they accused me of a bunch of stuff that was really mischaracterized. And I was kind of scared. Like, oh, God, you know, how much do you stand up and how diplomatic and, you know, the judo thing of being really, you know, diplomatic but stand your ground. And I wrote a response. And about a month and a half later, I get this call with the nicest tone. Yeah, Dan, if you've got a few minutes, could you call? This is so-and-so at Code. And I called. We traded some messages, and finally we connected. And when I met with them the first time, the code enforcement lady had just become a grandmother. And I was going to be a grandfather. And so we kind of connected on that level. And I realized it wasn't a personal thing. You know, they just had their job to do, and I had my defense. And I had some very legitimate concerns. And she says, you know, how's your granddaughter? I'm going, first she says, how are you? I said, well, I'm hanging in there. Depends on what you say is kind of how I'm going to be doing here. And she said, well, yeah, how's your granddaughter? That was a nice picture because I sent her a picture of me and the grandkid. I'm trying to, you know, suck up to this. I'm trying to, you know, like, great rapport, I think, is the proper word. And it seemed to work. And so we talked about grandkids and what an amazing experience it is. And having gone back there for my granddaughter's one-year birthday, it really is an amazing experience. How much they grow from 6 months to a year where they have this personality and where you see these different faces of the kid and, you know, once in a while you're going, oh, my God, you know, I see willfulness. This is going to be one handful of a kid, in a good way. And I lift her up to really have her own person. And she's showing that she's gaining in that department quite quickly. And so she says, you know, this was a forged complaint, right? And she says, yeah. And she says, you know, I'd be willing to just close this case if you give me a copy of the denial from the guy that wrote it, or that the name was on it. It was not his. He basically said, I didn't make any complaint. I literally was, what? I said, are you kidding me? So for a year, I literally had played that story in my mind, that meme, that thought that held so much power. And some of you got an earful of it many times here in circles. And I remember getting messages from Penny and Rita right next to each other. And they said, you're going to get through this. You've got all the skills to do it. You know, be careful. Hold your temper. You know, it's like, and I don't know if you remember this one, but it's like you're riding down this, you know, giant wave and you're doing it. But be careful that you can do it. And I'm getting all these affirmations from a variety of people that you're going to get through this thing. My mind went to the Mimi that was negative and was stressful. And in a way, it was good because it totally shook my world up and it made me realize that, my God, what if I had to move, sell my house, and totally create a new life for myself? What would that be like? And I thought, well, gosh, if I didn't have to be by the beach in Encinitas, which is not a bad place, I'm lucky, I totally agree, I could do this and this, and God, I wouldn't be tied down, and I could travel this place and that place, and this maybe could be a cool thing. And so I'm going through all of these possibilities, and so I went from these negative thoughts that were really containing and restricting and very diseasing to me, very stressful, to these thoughts of liberation in this whole new life, to where I would have to be present before the Lord, before the living God, to manifest daily. Because I think sometimes we get caught in a routine in our lives where things are, they just happen. You know, we go to work and we have stability and we do this thing. But sometimes we lose being in that special place of manifestation in the moment, where instantly God can line things up. And God wants to line things up for so many of us, but we haven't allowed, there's something in us that has to shift for that manifestation to happen. And oftentimes we're plugged into these memes, these thoughts that are zapping our energy. They zap our energy. And it's because oftentimes, I don't know about you, and I know maybe I'm the only one, there's maybe one of you out there that has this same issue. You're afraid of outside of the routine. What's the unknown? What if I lose my job? What if this? What if that? Because we're creatures of habit. And so it was like a total shakeup in my world. And so I'd go through these cycles of freaking out, totally freaking out, and then go, no, okay, I'm good. I'm good with this. I'm good with this. I'm good, right? I'm good. You good with it? I'm good with it. It's all in the mind. And so this ticker tape that was going through, I started to recreate the narrative of the worst case scenario of doom and gloom to liberation. It was like, if the worst case happened, I'd be free. I'd take these steps and I could create a whole new avenue in life. I could pick door number one, door number two, or door number three. I'd go east or west or north or south or someplace in between. I could create a whole new sort of existence. And as it turned out, the most amazing thing, you guys, is when she says, you know, why don't we just close this case? It was the most amazing thing. It was like this mist just cleared away, and it was sunshine. It was like this thing on my shoulders literally was just lifted up. I'm going, oh, and I'm jumping up and down. Because that meme, that thought that I gave power to, that I plugged into, took away my power. And so I want you to take it and personalize it in a couple of ways. I want you to think about the people that you hold thoughts on in a very practical way. They may have done you wrong. They hurt you. They abused you. They're not nice to you. And all of a sudden, every time you see them, those are the thoughts that come into your brain. And in a way, you hold them to who they were yesterday or yesteryear. Because when you create a thought or kind of this hologram, you create that same reality again. And if you hold the thought of a person in a negative way, it does. It holds them to that person. And it holds you back and it zaps your energy. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but you meet somebody and sometimes you just have a personality difference. It just there's not a good vibe. And then, like in another environment, this has happened to me, where in a totally different environment, you meet them in a different setting, maybe it's a social gathering or something, and you hit up this really nice conversation, you go, are you the person I talked to, 4 months ago or whatever it was? You're really different. And they were just maybe having a bad day. Or maybe I was just having the bad day. But what happened yesterday isn't what the reality is today. And the idea that we can change our reality instantly, and if you feel like you're drained You know, like there's, you're just fatigued, you're overwhelmed. Go through your registry, go through your meditation, and kind of scan your body and allow your mind just to settle, and ask God to point out things to you that you're holding on to that aren't serving you. That things are from the past that are like leeching onto you, that are causing dis-ease in your body. And replace those thoughts with thoughts of love, thoughts, the good experiences that you've had in life. And I think about my granddaughter, because I just got back, and what a joy. She's just, you know, crawling all over. And, you know, I'm not great with particularly little kids who are yelling and screaming. And I'm thinking, okay, control your kid. But then when it's your own, oh, isn't that just the cutest thing that ever happened? Look at, she's screaming. I mean, look at her. It's weird. It's just totally weird. You know, it's a totally weird thing. But the long and the short is, bring into your mind, when you're feeling down and you're feeling like fatigued, go into that special, quiet, meditative, prayerful space and ask God to bring to mind the things that you're holding on to, the things that you're plugging your energy in that take your power. And at the end of the day, it's really about your empowerment. What are you allowing to take your power from you, that drag you down, that limits you in your thinking? I can't do this because of this or that, or this limitation or that limitation. Ask God to point those things out, and then replace those things with the incredible love of the people around you, or the whatever those memes, those memories are. And it could be from 10 years ago. You can make that real instantly. You can bring it back into your consciousness, and you can live and create that new meme, that thought, that energy ball, as it were. And you can shift your mood quickly. And at the end of the day, I want each and every one of us to have the maximum amount of power and liberty and strength and confidence. And that, you know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what it brings. Maybe one of you guys know it, but I don't, you know, maybe you're a liar too, if you say you do. But the reality is, we don't know what happens tomorrow. We're all in the same zone. Tomorrow is a new thing. And that's the beautiful thing about having a spiritual walk with God, is that our future is not in our own hands. And we hold ourselves back when we hold on to those past memes. Okay? So I want you guys to ponder that. And maybe tonight, when you quiet down for the evening, just think about who's got your power? Who'd you give your power to? Just who is it? Might be a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. And it might only be for a short time in a day or this day. And then begin to rethink how you show up in life, that you're a spiritual being having a human experience, a human journey, as opposed to a human having kind of just the spiritual thing. We came from above, and we return there. And the more that we can elevate and get ourselves to understand that, I think that we're going to be much better off. Okay, I'm done. Thanks.